I didn't even plan this. I wanted to talk about transportation legislation, which I still do, and we're going to talk about that with Josh Morgan. But first, Josh Morgan, a sinkhole in Stratford. What in the world happened? Hello.
Good morning. Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me. And, well, yeah, we'll be flexible. We'll talk about whatever we need to talk about. But, yeah, no, we had a detour set up. We're out there. We're going to have an emergency project to figure out what's going on and get that roadway reopened, hopefully, as soon as we can. But, yeah, obviously, a sinkhole that opens up in the roadway is going to create unsafe conditions for everybody. So err on the side of caution, put up a detour, and we'll get an emergency project initiated as quickly as we can.
Do we see sinkholes very frequently, Josh Morgan? I think that's why it's also such a shock for people. You don't usually hear about it unless it hits national news, but do we often see this issue in Connecticut?
No. I mean, you know, potholes and, you know, smaller obstructions on the roadway are pretty routine, pretty common, especially this time of year. But, you know, we were out there doing a paving project, and crews saw that the road was dipping a little bit. When we said, okay, let's investigate this further. And then it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And obviously, seeing some of the photos, a pretty massive and deep sinkhole, which, you know, we cannot have the public using that roadway right now. So trying to ultimately figure out what caused this, there are several pipes that are going underneath the roadway to help, you know, move tidal water under and around the road. So there could be a failure there, but still a little too soon to ultimately say what's going on. But, you know, rest assured that we're going to keep that closed. We're going to get a project moving as quickly as we can. And we just ask people to be patient, follow the detours as we get a project underway.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Again, Josh Morgan's here from the Department of Transportation, is how does a sinkhole happen? I know with this one in particular, it's still sort of under investigation what caused it. But what typically does cause a sinkhole situation?
Yeah, just the removal of material. Obviously, you know, our road is paved. It's on top of other material, sand, dirt, gravel, you know, and the earth just sort of washes away, gives way. That could, you know, open up and create what we saw out there on Route 113. So, you know, we're going to have crews out there again today. This is definitely going to be what's considered an emergency declaration project, which allows us to, you know, speed up the hiring of contractors, the acquisition of materials, the sort of you know, a policy type declaration. But yeah, no, we're going to keep that road closed, get this emergency declaration set up, and hopefully get it repaired as quickly as possible.
Not to put you on the spot, Josh Morgan, but give or take ballpark, do you know how long this is going to have to be closed and obviously repaired before we can reopen it to the public?
Still too early to say. We're going to be in meetings today and throughout the week trying to figure out the next steps. You know, this just happened, you know, less than 24 hours ago. So still early on, but we know that it is not going to be safe for cars to travel on that road. So we got the posted detours. We're going to keep it closed. But yeah, we're going to work as quickly as we can.
So again, we have Josh Morgan here from the Department of Transportation in Connecticut. I saw something else come up, actually. It was from State Representative Nicole Claritas Ditria, and she was talking about immediate repairs to Commodore Hull Bridge and that was going to be underway. So could you give us the very latest? I know this certainly is important for Route 8 over the Housatonic between Shelton and Derby, another, you know, section of listeners for WICC very interested in this.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, we have some projects in planning. So we had some special inspections being conducted out there on the Commodore Hull Bridge. What we had noticed was some further deterioration of some of the support plates that are holding some of the load of the bridge, the trusses, the roadway itself. And so erring, again, on the side of caution, you know, it's we can never be too conservative when it comes to safety. We're going to implement a load restriction or a weight restriction of 32 tons and also put in some traffic shifts, basically trying to keep the vehicles away from those areas, which we're going to go out and repair this month. You know, people see the term emergency declaration or emergency project. Just want to reassure your listeners and the people of Connecticut, an emergency declaration project, again, is, government speak for a way that allows us to get this job done faster. We don't have to go through the normal bid process, the procurement process, the design process, which can take years. This is going to allow us to move quickly, hopefully seek some reimbursement funding for the project. But it is safe. The roadway will be open. We're not going to close down the bridge and have detours in place, but we are just going to restrict some of the weight load on there. And again, we're going to work started yesterday. We're going to be doing work in the overnight hours, but traffic will be able to go both northbound and southbound as we're doing this project.
And again, Josh Morgan of the Department of Transportation here. Josh, when you say that the DOT has posted a 32-ton weight restriction for all vehicles, what does that equate to? I think that's where a lot of panic sets in for drivers, because offhand, a lot of people won't know what 32 tons, what that equals. You know, how many cars is that? Are we talking about major trucks? You know, what if there's traffic on Route 8? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, your regular single passenger vehicle is going to be fine. The overweight, oversized permit loads that people may see on our roadways are not going to be able to use this section of Route 8, so they're going to have to find an alternate route depending on the size and weight of a fully loaded 18-wheeler tractor trailer, maybe over that 32 tons or, 70,000 pounds. But by and large, the everyday person who's commuting through the valley along Route 8 in their SUV or their sedan are not going to experience any issues.
Okay, so when we say 32-ton, you're talking about just a singular vehicle 32-ton. You're not talking about the bridge holding up to 32
Correct.
Tons on it. Okay, that's why I wanted to ask that, because I think that's where some confusion comes in and people are like, right, but what if we're at a dead stop and there's cars on both sides of the highway just stuck there on the bridge? So I think that's where that's the confusion.
Yeah. Again, the SUVs, your everyday commuting vehicle, not going to have any issues. Just some of those special permit vehicles, really those oversized, overweight, heavy loads will permit them and detour them around until the project's completed.
We knew last week that the state Senate passed a major bipartisan piece of legislation, Senate Bill 1377, to improve roadway safety and expand transit access. And it sounds like it's getting bipartisan support in both chambers. It should be on the governor's desk, hopefully, for a signature. Josh Morgan, what do you and the DOT think about it?
I mean, it's great news. It's an act implementing recommendations of the Connecticut DOT. So obviously something that we're supportive of and that we put in. A lot of, sort of policy wonky things that are in there. But for the everyday person, some of the things to look out for: increased use of helmets for both motorcycles and people using bicycles or e-bikes. So for motorcyclists, increasing the required age for helmet use from 18 to 21 years old. For those riding a bike, an e-bike, a scooter, increasing the age for required helmet use from 16 years old to 18 years old. Also increasing the fines for failing to yield to someone in a crosswalk. So upping that fine to $750. If you don't yield to someone who's trying to cross the street, or if you're passing a vehicle that did stop at a crosswalk to let somebody go by. So again, just trying to make conditions safer, no matter the mode of transportation. And certainly we appreciate the overwhelming support that we received from the General Assembly this session.
We have Department of Transportation Josh Morgan here. And we're talking about legislation that is expected to pass during this session, which ends this week. So, Josh, a couple of things that really stood out to me when I first was talking to lawmakers about this in the Senate last week. First of all, you talked about it briefly, the helmet safety. I'm surprised you guys are on board with raising the age for, especially that second part you had said, electric scooters, things like that, 16 to 18. And the reason I say that, I don't mean to give pushback, but we've seen some deadly crashes involving dirt bikes, things of that nature. The one that stands out to me was in Lower Fairfield County, where I believe it was a 15-year-old who died in a dirt bike crash. Now, I don't know if this person was wearing a helmet. I can't remember the story off the top of my head, but we have seen younger people who are on motorized vehicles, and I'm surprised that we would raise the age of a helmet requirement. And I didn't know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it's You have to wear a helmet using a bike now up until you're 16 years old. If you're 17 or older, you don't have to wear a helmet. The change that's in this bill that we hope the governor will sign will increase that age to 18, so requiring people to wear a helmet longer.
Thank you for that clarity. I thought it was, yeah. Hey, you have to start wearing them at 8. Okay. So you have to now wear them until 18. Got it.
Yes. Yep. You have to wear them longer. Motorcycle helmets and bike helmets. And if you're wearing if you're on a scooter or an e-bike, skateboard, things like that.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Appreciate the clarity. This is why we ask questions.
Yes.
Josh Morgan, the other thing that I really was surprised about, and what's funny is I had this conversation, and of course I start to manifest and think, oh, maybe this is something someone heard on the show today. But all of a sudden I'm noticing more and more people staying out of the far left lane. Literally, when I say all of a sudden, I mean after I had this conversation with lawmakers last week on the show. This left lane restriction, so beginning in 2026, vehicles will be restricted from the far left lane on three-lane highways, paired with a statewide safety awareness campaign. So essentially, unless you're passing someone, you cannot just stay in that far left lane. How do you enact that, especially when we have so many drivers on the roadways, so congested? How do we even enforce that?
Yeah, obviously, we're going to be working closely with Connecticut State Troopers who are out there doing a fantastic job on our roadway. There was already a prohibition for certain vehicles traveling in the far left lane, thinking of, we were talking before about Commodore Hall Bridge, some of the tractor trailers, these very large vehicles. What we're clarifying is making sure that it applies to all vehicles. And then that change is going to allow our Office of State Traffic Administration to put up new signage on all of the highways around Connecticut. And we'll do a public service awareness or PSA campaign to get the word out. We've certainly been talking a lot about this year, the left lane campers, the dangerous conditions that they're creating for people on the highway. I know Sergeant Davis and the folks over at Connecticut State Police have also been speaking about this, and they're pulling people over. It's creating dangerous conditions. If someone, is traveling 60 miles an hour in the far left lane, blocking traffic, it just, creates conditions that we don't want to see on our highway. So we have a little bit of runway here until October 2026 so we can get our signs made, get our PSA campaigns developed. And we'll certainly be working closely with state police on the enforcement end. But we hope through interviews like this, PSA campaigns, the new signage that will see a reduction in the people who are camping out there in that left lane and will be using it as intended just to pass another vehicle before returning to their normal travel lane.
I mean, I don't mean to be a cynic, Josh Morgan, and maybe I'm jumping ahead, but I would imagine, especially when you're trying to break, I would say, mindsets. We know education is a big portion of this, and certainly awareness and putting signage up, no question. I'd imagine there's going to be a lot of tickets in the fall of 2026 when this goes into effect. I don't know if it's going to be a lot of warnings, but I do think it's going to mean Connecticut State Police are going to be pulling a lot of people over who are utilizing that far left lane, just to get the point across. I don't know, but I think it's important that people are aware that if they don't know essentially before they go, that they very well could end up on police radar and not even realize they're breaking the law.
Yeah, and then that's, laws are changing. There's, our bill is one of, countless pieces of legislation that are getting discussed, approved, and signed into law, but we need to communicate that. So certainly through signage, putting things on social media, doing media interviews, putting some ad dollars behind it to really just get it in front of people, because you don't know what you don't know. And so we definitely want to publicize it, talk about it. And again, this is a way to keep traffic moving, break some of those bottlenecks and keep people safe. This isn't a law change that is trying to stuff the coffers of the state general fund or to raise revenue. What we do and the bills that we propose are never focused on generating revenue. They're focused on saving lives.
Well, yeah, and certainly when you look at our highways and how congested they are, one of my biggest concerns, even though I don't like sitting in traffic, as I know nobody does, I've never heard of anyone liking that, is my concern for emergency vehicles getting through. I always think to myself, man, I hope to God I don't see an ambulance come through this traffic. And the reason I say that is because it's going to be a real struggle. So I think keeping that far left lane open is also going to be just, again, a safety, I think, measure for people who are in emergency situations. So, I mean, to me, it makes sense. I don't think this is a money grabber, if you will. I think it makes sense, but I do think it's worth letting people know that, you know, there's a good chance if you're not keeping up with the local news and you're being aware of the signage going up, that you very well could get a ticket in the fall of 2026. And we'll, you know, we'll help out, obviously, as we can to get that word out there so people avoid that, certainly.
Yeah, and that was part of the legislation, you know, put up signage, do a PSA campaign, not one of these things that we're going to change the law and start writing tickets without telling anybody about it. So got a runway until October 2026, you know, more than a year. Hopefully this, is signed into law. We can get working on it. But, you know, again, like just, you know, incredibly appreciative of the bipartisan support we received this session for our bill, doing a lot to improve access to transportation, increase mobility, and improve safety in communities around the state. So we're very fortunate to have such a supportive legislature.
Josh Morgan, appreciate you always making the time for WICC. And as far as that, going back to our initial point, that sinkhole is concerned, will you keep me updated on what happens next?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. I appreciate it, friend. Thank you so much for what you do, and we will talk again soon.